Welcome to Sunday Matinee. Presenting plays for radio from across Canada. Comedy, mystery, romance, and history. Plays for the world of your imagination. If it's a good story you're looking for, stay tuned. Many Canadians will be familiar with the au pair girl. That's the young person, usually a teenager, who's brought from another country to look after the children and do various household chores in a Canadian home in exchange for room and board and the experience of living in a foreign environment. Rachel Wyatt, a longtime contributor to radio drama, has used this situation as the basis for a delightful comedy she calls The English Au Pair. The play stars Eve Crawford as Julie, the Canadian housewife, and Nikki Guadagni as the English au pair girl. Original music was composed and conducted by Lucio Agostini.
Pass.
What time are you expecting her tomorrow, Julie?
We're not even sure she is arriving tomorrow. I'm surprised her parents didn't make some kind of direct arrangement with me.
She's only 18?
Yes. It's all very casual.
And she hasn't let you know?
Girls, are we playing bridge or chatting?
About 20 minutes ago, I bit too fast.
Yeah. How can you meet her if you don't know when she's coming?
Suppose I fix us another drink while you make up your minds. Joan?
I shouldn't really, Vern, but I will. Rum and Coke? Liquor takes away all my initiative.
Oh, is that what does it?
Doug, don't be mean.
All of the same again, Vern. Can I help?
No, it's all right.
Why don't we have a little break? I'll get some crackers and cheese. I made a new kind of coffee cake today.
I thought I could smell something good. Is it the kind with nuts and icing? I'm starting my diet tomorrow. It's Doug's first free summer in years, so of course I eat a lot more than usual. Cookies with the morning coffee, proper lunches.
Do you need any help with your speech on the Niagara Conference, Vern?
You looking for work? Thanks. I got a good idea what has to be said. When I've written it out, though, I'd appreciate your comments.
Sure thing.
What are you doing with all that spare time, anyway?
Oh, I read. Get my stuff ready for September. Think about a trip up north.
Yeah.
I want him to decorate the kitchen and the front hall, but he's not enthusiastic.
Well, can't say I would be either.
He wants me to go up north camping. Camping! I'd rather spend one weekend in a motel with a decent restaurant and a nice pool and 2 weeks in a tent.
Well, I don't mind going alone.
Help yourselves, everyone. I don't know that I can keep my mind on bridge tonight. I have 3 harrowing appointments today.
Your drink? Julie, Joan,
thanks,
Doug?
Sir.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Oh, how's school, Vern?
Well, you know how the kids are in the summer. Outside, there are baseball diamonds, swimming holes, friends. There's no air conditioning, so they complain all the time.
But, you know, this girl, the cake is terrific. Don't give me the recipe. How can you meet her if you don't have a time?
Well, apparently she's traveling standby from London with some friends of hers. Might go to their place for a couple of nights. She's supposed to phone.
I can't wait for her to get here.
You were dead set against the idea at first.
Yeah, well, teaching summer school and looking after our kids isn't my idea of a great summer.
Working and looking after the kids isn't my idea of a summer either. But it pays the mortgage.
Say, aren't you worried about leaving Duane and Debbie with a girl that you don't know?
Oh, we do know her, Doug. In a way. Her family and my grannies have been neighbors for ages. Granny's known her since she was born. I've met her a couple of times when I've been over there.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
She really seems like a nice kid.
They change when they get older.
She'll put the kids to bed and bring me long, cool drinks and call me sir.
That's your third piece of cake, Joan.
Do you want me thin and grouchy?
Oh, no, dear. Of course not.
Oh, sure, Vern. And she'll have the house cleaned by noon and do the laundry and teach Debbie perfect English manners. Of course, we're going to have to take her around a bit, show her some of the countryside. It's part of the deal.
Anyway, we'll see her Thursday when we come to dinner.
Wonder if she likes camping.
A girl that age is quite a responsibility.
Ah, she's a nice girl. We won't have any problems.
Who's that?
Julie, it's me, Hillary.
Hillary? Well, what a surprise. How nice.
I would have phoned, but I lost the bloody number. Couldn't find you in the book.
Oh, come on in.
Oh, yes, of course. Come in, Hillary. We were just talking about you. Oh, you remember Vern?
Oh, yes. He came over in 76 with you, didn't he? I was only 12, but I thought he was super. You still play hide-and-seek, Vern?
Oh, well, our children are a bit too young. Oh,
and these are our friends, Douglas and Joan Anderson. Hillary.
Nice to meet you, Hillary.
Did you have a good journey?
Oh, marvelous, thanks. I love flying. It's so invigorating. Gives me loads of extra energy. Actually, I've been looking around the city for a couple of days with my friends before I start working.
But can I get you anything? A drink of lemonade?
Oh, whatever you're having.
I guess you'd like to see your room first, relax, have a wash.
Well, I'm drinking Rhine ginger.
Ooh, sounds a bit disgusting, but I have to get used to local things. I'll try it.
Okay, coming up.
I'm not a bit tired, Julie, thanks.
Are your friends bringing the rest of your things? You know, your luggage?
Nope, this is it. I travel light. We all do nowadays. It makes it so easy. I have a friend who can travel for weeks with a small flight bag. He never has to wait for his stuff to come off the plane. And if anyone says, let's go to Kathmandu on Wednesday, we're all set.
Oh, that's the way to live. Now, do you hear that, Joan? No heavy baggage. That's freedom. That's the way I used to live, too.
20 years ago.
Oh, come on, not that long ago.
I think we should be going and leave you three to get acquainted again.
Oh, no, you don't have to.
It's getting late anyway. Come on, Doug.
We'll finish the bridge game another time.
Sure, your minds weren't on it anyway. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye. Whew. Honey, could you freshen my drink up a little, please?
Right.
Well, then. Well, I hope you're going to like it here, Hillary.
Oh, so far I like the heat. I brought just the right clothes for it.
There you go, Hillary. Hope I haven't made that too strong.
Oh, ta. Well, it's thirst-quenching.
We'll have to make sure you see as much of the country as you can while you're here.
Oh, I like the glass skyscrapers. They look like gold.
Well, they really are gold, you know.
Oh, really?
It's glass with a tiny proportion of real gold in it. Not only the bank buildings can afford it. We must take Hillary to the top of the CN Tower, Julie, in the fall.
If she wore clothes, I wouldn't mind.
When you wrote, you told her it was hot here in the summer.
I didn't tell her we went around like a bunch of naked savages.
Yeah, she seems to have a lot of those shorts and top things with her.
They don't cover much up.
No.
There. I've made Dwayne's lunch and a cheese sandwich for Debbie. Anyway, she was absolutely shattered. The psychiatrist said to her...
Who? Hillary?
The woman I was telling you about.
Oh.
He said...
Julie, do you iron Vern's knickers?
No, just fold them, please.
What knickers? I don't wear knickers.
It's a cute word they use for underwear.
Oh. I left that folder here, right here on the table. I gotta have something to show the committee or they'll find another delegate.
The psychiatrist pretty well told her she was a bad mother. A lousy, second-rate mother. Can you imagine?
Knickers? Huh. Yesterday she asked me if I was feeling evil.
What?
Hillary. She thought I didn't look well. Thoughtful girl.
I'm not convinced she isn't an 18-year-old barracuda.
What'd you say?
You're right, of course. She'll be okay. But you were the one who didn't want her here.
Hey, it's only for the summer. Summertime and the living is easy. Hey, we'll be able to go out in the evenings a bit more.
I wouldn't mind playing tennis again. Want any more coffee?
Oh, no, thanks. I'm trying to cut down. I'll check the rackets. I'll bet she plays cricket. Can't you just see her in a pair of little white shorts, carrying a great big bat? Silly square leg.
I don't think there's any such position.
That's what they all say.
I say, what kind of peculiar synthetic stuff is this shirt made of? The iron's gone right through it.
Oh, my God. The smell. My new blouse.
And as she comes out from the clubhouse carrying her bat, the crowd cheers, and Miss Hillary Thomas takes up her stance in front of the wicket and swings out at the first ball. Strike one.
What am I going to do with her?
Have you made her cry?
She's making me cry.
Are you sure she's all right?
What about me? I'm trying to get to work, and she's useless.
You know what I think? I think you're a little bit jealous.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, she's an attractive girl, three in the house.
We don't have that kind of marriage. I thought we had trust and mutual respect and a real commitment.
I was kidding. Just kidding.
Hey, haven't you two left yet? You'll be late.
We're just going. Vern, there's your folder.
Thanks.
Now, you're sure?
Oh, don't worry.
And you've got the school number. Vern can be here in 5 minutes.
I feed Dwayne at 11:30, and Debbie plays till she feels tired. Nothing to it. And don't worry about me. I've got letters to write.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Crazy, hectic people.
Dearest Jeremy, I do miss you. These people are rather odd. He's a teacher. He's teaching a summer course to students who didn't pass North American history. Julie is pretty, but not too bright. She's a professional marriage counselor. I can hear you saying, a what? Yes, that's what she does and gets paid for it. There are two children I haven't seen much of. The little girl Debbie spends her time playing in the road. The baby is Dwayne. Yes, honestly, Dwayne. He's crying now. I don't think it's good for them to be picked up every minute, though Julie does. Merely because of her guilt feelings about leaving them, I should think. Tonight, they're having some friends in for dinner.
You're not drinking your wine, Hillary.
Maybe Hillary's not used to wine.
We always have wine at home, but it's different.
Well, when you go to Niagara, you'll see where this is made.
You have to go to Niagara.
I'd like to go up north. That sounds more like the real Canada.
Mm.
Oh, you've been there, Miss Anderson.
Oh, yes. I wouldn't go just now, though. Mm-mm. This is the black fly season. This time of year, I've seen men come out of the bush in, well, in bad shape.
Covered in blood, you mean?
Don't start him off on all that, my dear. You'll never hear the end of it.
No, but he's just getting interesting.
Oh.
That looks great, Julie. What is it?
Rice and pineapple and chicken and cherries and green peppers. I read the recipe in a magazine.
Oh, including those cherries. Go on, Mr. Anderson. Tell us about the black fly.
I don't think we'll be seeing Doug and Joan around here for a while.
You want me to put this cake on a smaller plate?
Cake, she said. You all eat a lot of rich, starching food and drive everywhere. No wonder there are so many large people about.
There was no need for you to snap at her. Maybe Joan will go on a diet. She could use one.
I thought English manners were something special, but they didn't say things like that.
You're thinking of the working class.
And she was rude to Doug.
He didn't have to ask her what she thought of Canada, did he? I mean, it's a crazy, trite question. The kid's only been here a few days.
But this isn't Canada, is it? It's no place. A suburb? It has no meaning.
Well, in a kind of historical sense, she's right.
According to her, we've got no culture, no history, no background.
When she's been here a little while, she'll understand
about it. You don't have to keep on defending her. She behaved atrociously. It's one of the worst evenings of my life.
Well, maybe we need shaking up now and then.
If you think she's so marvelous, get her to come and finish the dishes. I'm going to bed.
Need any help? Tonight, they had an absolutely ghastly dinner party. You'll never guess what she made for pudding. A kind of huge chocolate cake smeared with whipped cream. Every piece lethal, I'd say, for all those middle-aged people. Oh, by the way, so much for their perfect marriage. When I went down to help with the washing up, they were in the middle of a furious quarrel. And when I went in, she went on washing up without a word. Oh, they have a dishwasher, but I put a fork in it the wrong way off or something. Broke the very flimsy propeller. Things are very poorly made here. I tried to start a real conversation at dinner, but they don't seem to go in for it. Tomorrow, Vern's going to show me round his school. He's going to be a dentist. You see, Vern, I think it's necessary to break away from all this paternalism. Oh, we have a lot of token student participation in our system, too. It looks all right, but all the decisions have been made beforehand.
It's a very touchy subject. Teachers generally feel that they have the experience on their side, and the boards are dead against anything they see as creeping radicalism.
You have to be pioneers. I thought that's what this country was all about. But all that seems to be left are the extremely dull great-great-grandchildren of pioneers.
Well, they're both asleep. I don't want to go out, but Mrs. Kalchuk seems to be in trouble again.
Oh, you go on. I can cope.
Aren't you going bowling, Vern?
Oh, I think I sprained my wrist. I couldn't lift a golf ball, let alone a bowling ball. I've got to write this speech for the conference.
Well, then, I should be off.
But don't worry. They don't usually wake up. And Vern is here.
Yeah.
I won't be late. It depends what she wants. I might be home quite soon. In an hour. Sooner,
Metropolitan Toronto Group would like to endorse the traditional educational concept that I have just outlined and the stand taken, I am sure, by most of those present at this conference.
Busy?
No, it's okay. I was just listening to my speech.
Oh, don't let me disturb you.
No, that's all right.
Oh, I've made a cup of tea. Would you like one?
Sure. I've finished for tonight anyway.
Oh, would it bother you terribly if I put this record on? I bought it yesterday and I'd like to hear it.
No, that's fine.
It's an oldie. You should remember this.
What have you been doing all evening?
I've been writing home, reading. I brought a lot of books with me. Virginia Woolf, E.M. Forster.
Passage to India?
I prefer A Room with a View. I think it's full of latent homosexual imagery.
Ah, what's the tune? I've heard it at school.
At the Bump.
Oh, yeah.
It's great fun. Do you want me to show you?
Okay.
All right, just move that chair a bit.
Great.
Right. One, two. Now, when you see me stick my hip out either side, you do the same and we bump.
Uh-huh.
See?
Uh-huh.
Bump, bump. Hip, hip, turn. Yes, yes.
That's great. Hey, not so hard. I'm going to end up with bruises.
Back to back then.
All right.
Hi. Hi.
In case you hadn't noticed, I'm back.
Hello, Julie.
Hi.
That looks like fun.
It is. I'm teaching him the bump.
Yeah, we'd only just started. I've been doing my speech all evening. I can play it for you if you like. It's on tape. Hillary's been riding home and reading A Room with a View. E.M. Forster, you know. How'd you get on?
Poor old Mr. Calchuk. He goes for a few days being old-world charming and nice, then he gets drunk again and turns into a brute, throwing things, breaking china.
You missed the bump fun.
Oh, we'll stop now, I think, another time.
Oh, no, do go on. I'll get myself some of that tea.
No, I'll fetch another cup.
Hillary, if you didn't bring a house coat with you, I can lend you one.
This is a house coat, Julie. It's my summer one. Easy to pack and all that.
Oh, I could hardly take up any room at all. Were the children all right?
I didn't hear them. Then I was listening to my radio. Look, I'm going to take my tea up to bed. Good night.
Good night, dear.
There you go. We only just started that. She came down and asked me if I'd like a cup of tea.
It's nice tea. Thanks.
Cake?
No, thanks. I don't think I'll ever eat a piece of cake again.
Yeah. I've done a lot of work. Like to hear my speech? I've been at it for 3 hours. The speech.
There's no need to be so defensive, dear. It's quite all right. It's suspicion, after all, that spoils a relationship. Now, if you tell me you have only just begun to dance, then I believe you. And even if you'd been dancing all evening, well, so what? Ours is a modern, friendly marriage. You have a right to have a good time. I'm not a female ogre.
You're a sweetie.
I've been telling all this to Mrs. Calchuk. It's suspicion and hostile feeling and habituated conflict that's breaking up their marriage.
Added to which they hate each other.
We're still hoping they'll make a go of it.
We?
All of us at the center.
Kind of group goodwill, huh?
Don't make fun of me.
I'm not. Some of your work is just a mystery to me, that's all.
In that case, we need a little more verbal communication.
Oh, I prefer the other kind. How about us going to bed?
I'm not sure it wouldn't be transferred lust.
What in hell do you mean by that?
Well, in that short piece of material she had draped round her, bumping hips or whatever, it wouldn't take long for any man to get a little worked up.
Now, don't be crazy. I thought you were being reasonable about it.
I am.
Well,
I just don't want to make love. Not now. Not right after you and she have... You see what I mean?
All that dumb marriage counseling is driving you out of your mind. What you're thinking is nasty and dirty.
Thank you. Maybe what you were doing was nasty and dirty.
Oh, there now, the truth. All that sweetness and light was just a show.
I'm human. I'm a woman. You can't expect me not to notice.
I knew I should have gone bowling.
You've got a sprained wrist, remember?
I'm going to bed.
One gets used to the taste of the tea bag, but they drink a foul kind of milk called 2%. They were at it again downstairs just now, shouting. I don't know what they find to go on about all the time. They seem to have enough money and the children aren't cross-eyed or anything. She lent me her kind of textbook called Marriage Lines. It has chapters in it called things like conjugal cohesion. Sounds a bit sweaty, doesn't it? And mobilizing egoistic motivations, and a diagram called instrumental dimensions, which sounds rather ruder than it actually is. See, I told her that you and I are going to have a super sex relationship and maybe no children at all. So she lent me the book, which would put one off, rather. We had a bit of a row today, and I told her I thought it was childish the way that Vern goes out with the boys one night a week. Makes her into some kind of a keeper. And I also think she's always buying ice creams for Debbie because she's guilty about going out to work. By the time she's 7, Debbie could be huge, and she's a sweet kid, really. I didn't mean to upset Julie. Oh, she probably wasn't bothered. She knows everything, anyway.
If there are any messages, Hillary, please write them down.
Sure, Julie.
And if Debbie cries, please go and talk to her.
Hillary knows what to do by now, don't you, Hillary?
Yes, Vern.
It might be quite late, midnight or so.
Stay out as long as you like. Bye.
Bye.
Good night.
Vern, do you really like going out with the guys on Wednesday?
Well, it used to seem like a good idea, but it can be a bit of a drag.
Why do you still go?
Habit, I guess. But I thought you needed a night to wash your hair, walk around with cream on your face.
That's a crazy old cliche idea of marriage. I wash my hair when you're there. Shouldn't make any difference.
Not to me.
I'm worried about Debbie.
She seems okay to me.
I can't help wondering if I buy her too many candies and ice creams.
Does she eat more than most kids her age?
Well, no. But maybe I buy them because I'm guilty about going out to work.
Most of the mothers we know go out to work. It's a usual thing nowadays.
I know, but...
Look, why all this agonizing now? Put it off till tomorrow, huh? Let's enjoy our night out.
Darling Jeremy, they really are an odd couple. They go out every Friday because they go out every Friday. It took them ages to find a movie they both wanted to see. Oh, for movie, read film. I'm starting to be infected by their language. Oh, probably both of them would rather have stayed at home and read or talked. I'm babysitting.
Is Julie there?
No. They should be back by midnight or so. They're at the cinema.
Oh, at the movies.
Yes, downtown. Is there anything I can do?
It's Mr. Kalchuk. He's done it again. I need to see you.
Oh, it's taking me an age to write this letter with all these interruptions, Jeremy. One of Julie's clients phoned earlier. How Julie got the job, I don't know. You'd think they'd have to have at least 20 years happy marriage behind them. Though you tell me that's naive. Like expecting every stockbroker to be a millionaire and every teacher to be clever. Vern isn't particularly.
It's 11 p.m. and the temperature is 20 degrees Celsius. And humidity.
Oh, who's 50%. That at this time of night?
A slight chance of rain. The Prime Minister announced today that...
Oh, Mr. Anderson. Will come, into effect come to tell me more about the black fly.
No, I had to come around. Some things to discuss with Vern. Now, about the conference. Isn't he in?
Oh, they'll be back before long. Sit down and make yourself comfortable.
I shouldn't really. I'm going away for a few days, and I won't get another chance to see him before the Niagara trip.
Well, I could make you a cup of coffee or tea. Oh, there's beer in the fridge.
Ah, you've twisted my arm. Hey, I'll have one if you'll have one.
No, not for me. Thanks. It's all frothy stuff. No body. Are you going away for a holiday?
Well, a kind of holiday. A lodge by a lake. Things haven't been too good since the other night.
It was an odd party, wasn't it?
Well,
You know, nobody could have been drunk at any rate, not enough ghastly local wine.
My wife's been upset ever since.
Oh, I am sorry. Has she seen a doctor?
No, it's not like that. She's been depressed.
No, quite frankly, if I...
Please, don't tell me any more frank things. Now, what time did they say they'd be back?
Any time now. You haven't always been a teacher, have you? Didn't you used to work in a mine? That sounds really interesting. Tell me about it.
Well, I don't know that there's that much to tell.
Oh, come on, Mr. Anderson, don't be stuffy.
That seems to be the last of the beer.
So there we were in this hotel in Timmins. Mm-hmm. The mines closed down. Yes. You couldn't see a thing out of the windows. Complete whiteout.
What did you do then?
Hold up there with the liquor and a few friends till the road was clear.
Ooh, one long party.
Party is dead right. I'm not a gambler myself, but I've seen guys play poker 3 days straight. I saw a man shot once.
Did he cheat?
No, it was the barman. Had to tell everybody there was no more whiskey. And Maybelle at the piano.
Oh, was her name really Maybelle?
Well, it's what she answered to. Anyway, Maybelle just kept right on playing, didn't even turn around. He was only wounded. Slipped down behind the counter, knocked over 6 glasses at the same time.
And?
Oh, and he was her husband, too.
Oh, Doug, you're making fun of me.
Well, parts of it were true.
Why don't you go back there? Jeremy and I have an agreement. Either of us will go where there's interesting work. Plenty of time for the Darby and Joan bit when we're older.
Oh, you might change your mind. It's cold up there like you wouldn't believe. But it's clear and fine. Hmm. And at nights, it's so still. You know, I read in the paper only last week where that mine's opening up again.
It must take a lot of courage, that kind of work.
I don't know I'd like to go down that mine anymore.
Oh, but you used to. You might again. And look what you've traded it in for. Living in this nowhere place, teaching at the box-type high school. How deep did you say the mine is?
2,000 feet.
Oh, incredible.
Well, it's almost 30 minutes past the witching hour. We've got time for one more old favorite before we hear from Ron with the news. Here's Jealousy.
Oh, they should be here by now.
Whew, it's nearly 12:30. Oh. I've got to be on my way.
Oh, listen. Isn't that a tango?
Yeah, it sure is. And before you, you see the Tango King of the North. Dance you to the door, lady.
Just once around the room. Oh, you are a super dancer. Good thing our legs are the same length.
Oh. My crime was my blind jealousy.
Hi.
Hello, you're late.
Joan.
We stopped by at your place, Doug, and when Joan said you were here, we thought we'd all come over and have a drink together.
Oh, can I get anything for anybody?
Doug, what have you been doing?
Oh, nothing.
I thought it was something like this. I know what you all think about me, that I'm fat and ugly and a slob.
You're making something out of nothing, Joan. Be rational.
I'll make some coffee.
Not for me, Vern. I'm off to bed.
I think you deliberately set this up.
Now, we can work all this out.
You shut up, you smug, skinny bitch. Don't come on to me with that marriage counselor bit. Ask your husband what was going on in the science lab when he was showing her around the school before you give me any advice. You can, all three... All four stay here, live together. I don't care. I'm going home.
Hey, wait, Joan.
Come back.
Joan, listen.
Oh, boy. I better go.
This is just a temporary expression of frustration, Doug.
Oh, Joan,
she'll
I don't...
work through it by tomorrow, and she'll feel secure again.
Oh, for Christ.
I hope you enjoyed the film. Oh, Dwayne's awake. And by the way, Julie, Mrs. Kalchuk called.
What did she want?
Oh, she'll tell you in the morning. She's asleep on the sofa downstairs in the recreation room.
I don't believe this. Tell me it isn't happening.
I'll get Dwayne.
Oh, don't bother. I'll probably go back to sleep in a minute. Do you think Dwayne is an awful name? Mrs. Kalchuk is asleep in the rec room. And Doug and Joan are probably going to get a divorce because of us.
They'll sort things out. Come and sit down.
See? He has stopped crying. Doug and Joan? Oh, I guess you're right. Even a very acute conflict can be worked through when each partner brings rationality and love and the memory of shared experience to bear on it.
Of course it can.
They have 10 years of marriage. They're not going to throw it away because of a little lapse on Doug's part.
Look, I don't think he actually lapsed.
Perhaps not. But sometimes I wonder what that girl is trying to run here.
What do you mean?
Why doesn't she just put up a red light outside and be honest about it?
Julie, that isn't rational. She's a nice kid. She likes to dance, probably gets a bit bored here, that's all. Look, I hadn't been...
Oh, sorry, teacher. I forgot. Teachers have to be allowed to pontificate.
I'm not the one who's pontificating
here,
damn it.
So I'm boring as well. Jealous,
boring. I wear clothes. What else?
I'm not going to talk to you when you're like this.
And hysterical. Now you're telling me I'm hysterical as well. Is that surprising? Look what she's done. Such a nice girl, Granny said. Watched her growing up. Friends and neighbors. Grow up into what? And I could lose my job over this Kalchuk thing. And just exactly what were you doing in the science lab, you and that English tart?
Just only way to post this. They were shouting again last night. And this morning I found him asleep on the sofa in the living room. And Mrs. Kalchuk, the woman I told you about, busy in the kitchen making an awful mixture of oats and raisins and chopped up apples for breakfast. Good for everybody, she said. But at least she'd stopped crying. This is my day off, so I'm going out early to see the city. Living here in this Greenwood Acres, one might as well be in Slough. Sometimes I could even be homesick for Slough. I don't know whether I can stand this quarrelsome atmosphere for the rest of the summer.
There you are.
Oh, is something wrong?
It is 3 o'clock in the morning, Hillary. Where have you been?
Downtown. The museum, Ontario Place, some pubs, a disco. I met the kids I came over with and a couple of French boys I know. They've been touring Quebec. I had a super time.
But how are you going to get up in the morning and look after the children?
Oh, I'll be all right. I can go without sleep if I have to.
But I...
I can't help thinking she's a bit strange. She was sitting up when I came in. Such a look she gave me. Oh, perhaps marriage makes people bitter or jealous of one's being single. I'm beginning to feel quite sorry for her. Anyway, more tomorrow. She'll be gone all day and I have to mind the brats. Next week on my day off, I'm going to Niagara Falls with Andre and Mary and the others. Vern has tomorrow afternoon off. Perhaps I'll get him to show me some of the local sights. Hello.
Hi, Junior.
There you are. I was just going to phone the police. I've been out of my mind with worry. The car gone and nobody here. It's way past Dwayne's bedtime.
Vern took us all to the science center. Dwayne slept all the way home.
It's going to be all out of his schedule.
Well, maybe kids need a bit of a change now and then.
Too much strict routine makes martyrs of parents.
Oh, really? And where's Debbie?
Still asleep in the car.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
We left the windows open.
Debbie's finally settled down. Did you like the science center, Hillary?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Debbie liked all the flashing lights. By the way, how's Mrs. Kalchuk getting on?
We've got them back together again.
Do you think that's a good thing? I mean, they haven't got much of a marriage.
As long as there's some hope.
Oh, you work on that theory?
Hello?
Like with you and Vern?
It's for you, Hillary.
Oh, it'll be Andre. Thanks.
Who's Andre?
Some boy she knows from France.
Yeah? She seems to have acquired a lot of casual acquaintances on this trip. Julie?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think her parents know about these things? I mean, the hour she keeps
Bit of a letdown.
What is?
Well, they said they'd take me to Niagara Falls next week on my day off. Now they can't go.
It was a good bus service.
I've got that conference in Niagara Falls on Tuesday. Why don't you come with me? If Julie could look after the kids.
I could rearrange my appointments, I suppose. You don't have to worry about Debbie and Dwayne if you really want to go.
Oh, that would be super of you, Julie, just this one time.
Why don't you come with us? You could take the kids.
Oh.
It would be a long day for them.
Yes,
you're right.
Thanks, Vern. I'll meet you here then at 6.
Sure you'll be all right alone?
Enjoy your conference.
Any conclusion? That's why I believe we must eschew traditional concepts. And that is why I threw away my prepared speech to say that I feel the whole system needs changing to make it more vital. We need more student input and a real and vigorous new lateral approach. Thank you.
Did you have a good day?
Did you?
Oh, super, thanks. I've been in the tunnels and on the boat. I could stand here forever watching the water, except that it's a bit hypnotic. You know, you could almost get drawn in.
Yes, good.
How was your meeting?
Oh, fantastic. I said to them, we must have more student involvement.
Oh, good for you, Vern.
And I said, new times require new concepts.
That's right.
And I said, we need to prepare the new men and women for the revolutionary times ahead.
Oh, Vern, that was a super thing to say.
And on my way out, one of my old college friends called me a crazy communist nut and asked if the sun had gone to my head.
Wonderful, you see, you've made them think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're thinking all right. Well, we better be starting out for home. Julie will probably have the dinner ready by 8.
Couldn't we stay to see the falls lit up? Look, it says on that board that the lights go on at 10:30. If we set off right after, we'd be home soon after midnight. And I might never be here again, ever.
Well, we could phone Julie.
She won't be expecting us until pretty late anyway.
She might think we've had an accident.
Oh, you don't credit her with much common sense, do you? When there's an accident, the police are around knocking at the door before the blood's dry in the road. Can we get a drink in one of those bars?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Cheers.
Cheers. Great idea to come here.
We've certainly given it a whirl.
Cheers.
Cheers again.
Where was I? Look. Does a man represent the voters or himself, eh? Eh? No, this is a fundamental question. Man should speak his mind. Ah, the hell with all conferences. Now, you have another drink.
Vern, listen, I'm just going down to see the falls close to, with the lights on. Mm. And to phone Julie.
Mm. She's lovely. Julie's a very pretty lady. We have 2 little children.
Mm-hmm. Look, I'll be back in 10 minutes. Don't move.
We have a very nice double bed.
Will you be all right?
In the long term or the short term?
I'll be back soon.
She's gone. Hillary. Hey, Hillary. Hey, don't go by yourself. There's a bad man about. Hillary!
Suppose he's dead. With her there, catching his last words. Is it too soon to phone around the hospitals? The police? Hello?
Julie?
Oh, for God's sakes, what's happened? Where's Vern?
Nothing's happened. Hope I didn't wake you.
What's wrong?
Nothing's wrong. It's just that Vern had rather a lot to drink.
But he doesn't...
He's in no fit state to drive. So I booked a room.
A room?
One is much cheaper than two here, isn't it? For me to have a room of my own would cost another $25.
But if
I sleep on the spare bed in his room, it's only an extra $7. As soon as we've seen the manager about the damage, we'll go to bed. We'll be back in time for you to go to work, so don't worry. I'll get him up as soon as it's light. He'll have slept it off by then.
I see. Well, thank you for looking after him. See you in the morning.
I must go. Good night.
Good night. How kind of her to take care of him. A marriage is based on complete trust and faith. Just how drunk is he? I've never known him drunk. Trust and faith. Oh, my God. She's going to have to take his clothes off. I could call her back and tell her that there's no need. His pants and shirt are permapress. Tolerance and acceptance are key words to a good marriage.
She didn't tell me what hotel they're staying at, the cunning little bitch. What did she say about damage? And the manager? What damage? Why did they have to see the manager?
Oh, it was a joke. They're just around the corner, downtown, on their way home. Hello.
Julie. Julie.
Oh, it's you, Mrs. Kalchuk. It's very late.
I know, Julie, but I must talk to you. My husband, he won't shut up.
Quite frankly, Mrs. Kalchuk, I have no answers anymore. Look, if you won't shut up, why don't you try giving him a good clout? Have you got a broom handy? I know nothing
Julie.
About marriage. Nothing.
The fools were absolutely super, Jeremy. There was a rainbow over them the whole time. Unfortunately, he got drunk and he had to stay the night. Very boring of him. Surprisingly, he's quite a chaotic drunk. And it was beautiful driving back in the early morning, though he hardly spoke a word.
Fortunately, they're not going to prosecute.
I still don't see.
Oh, I was depressed about the conference. I really screwed it up. Then I saw her through the window, and I felt she shouldn't be down near the falls alone at night. So I walked through the window. Straight through it. It couldn't have been very well made. You know, when the barman tried to stop me, I pushed him, and three tables fell over, like dominoes. Glasses, chairs, and bottles. The man's suit needed cleaning.
If it had got into the papers, you could have lost your job.
I know. As it is, the summer course money will just about pay the damages.
One screen window and a few glasses?
Oh, it was their panoramic window.
Oh.
Measures 8 by 12.
There goes our winter holiday money.
I'm sorry.
Hello? Yeah. All right. Hillary, you get the phone up there?
Okay, thanks.
Who is it?
I collect call from Jeremy, whoever he is.
That's her boyfriend.
Boyfriend? You mean from England? Collect? Oh, God. I suppose there's no way we could get rid of her.
We could change her airline ticket and put her on a plane.
We could say we've run out of money, or one of us has the plague.
It's our house. We shouldn't need reasons.
With your granny living next door to her family, your parents would be down our necks right away.
I can't help that. Oh, God. That's probably for her, too.
It's for me.
And what about your work?
I'm beginning to reevaluate the whole work situation. Maybe I should give more time to Dwayne and Debbie and quit trying to solve other people's matrimonial hang-ups.
Can I talk to you both for a moment? I want to ask you rather a large favor.
Go ahead.
Andre and his friend and another girl are going out west tomorrow, driving. They've asked me to go along. A fantastic opportunity to see the Rockies.
Oh.
I said yes.
Well, would your parents allow it?
I'm going to phone them in a moment. Oh, they won't have gone to bed for more than an hour ago. And they're light sleepers. I thought I'd talk to you first.
Yeah.
You do think it's a good idea, don't you?
Well, yeah, I suppose so. I think I did everything you said to do.
Thanks for looking after things.
Well, it seems to be working out quite well. You fitting your appointments around my classes?
Yes.
Julie.
Hmm?
Look, she's gone now. Can't we be like we were before?
I have to think things over.
Hey, how about us going out Friday?
Same old routine.
Well, tomorrow then.
We'll see.
Look, I can't put up with much more of this. It wasn't an easy time for me either, you know. Doug Anderson's been my friend since I started at the school.
Oh, he'll come round.
And what about you? Look, if it's what Joan said about us in the science
lab... I do not want to know. Please spare me the details.
Oh, go on sulking then. I'm going out.
Marriage counseling can be summed up in one short phrase. Men are swine. Vern were here, he could decide whether Debbie should have an ice cream or not. Only a popsicle then, Debbie.
One popsicle represents lessened guilt feelings because there's no cream or chocolate in it.
Hi!
Oh, Mrs. Kalchuk, come on in.
Thank you.
Sit down. I can give you a coffee, but if you've come for advice...
No, not anymore. No more advice.
I can understand. Not for me. I'm thinking of giving up my job.
No, no, not you. I tell them on the phone, your Mrs. Bronson is a clever lady. I give my husband one big clunk on the head with the lampstand. First I unplugged.
And it worked?
Oh, like a lamp. Nobody ever hit him before.
It worked?
You having trouble, maybe, huh?
In a way. It's mainly my own fault.
First advice. Stop thinking it's mainly my own fault. Second advice. Find heavy weapon.
Mrs. Kalchuk, I think maybe you're right. Maybe I'll just do that.
Julie? Hi, you there? Oh, there you are. What are you doing?
Looking around for a heavy weapon.
I brought you these flowers.
And saved your life. Oh, Vern.
I've missed you.
It's been horrible. I've been so stupid about everything. I thought marriage counseling was all books and aphorisms. I'm going to suggest to the committee that they give away a big stick with every copy of Marriage Lines.
Mm. Your hair smells nice. Mm. Oh, I picked up the mail.
It was a letter from Hillary. Mm.
Dear Vern and Julie,
I want to tell you what a super experience it's been staying with you. These guys I'm with are slightly boring. They don't read anything except maps and comics and only have one thing in mind. Also, as we've been driving along, it occurred to me that I have an obligation to you both and that it wasn't fair to leave you stranded without a sitter. So I'm going to leave them in Calgary and get the train back. I'll be able to babysit for the last month of my stay.
Looking forward to seeing you on Friday.
Friday? That's tomorrow.
Now, she goes on to say, I've bought an Indian doll for Debbie. Don't bother to meet the train.
Oh, what are we going to do?
A plague sign on the door?
Be serious.
You know, we could alter her flight like we were going to do before.
4 more weeks and the whole of Greenwood Acres could be in ruins.
She called me the dull great-great-grandson of a pioneer.
Help.
We'll think of something.
Hello? I'm back. Oh, there you are. I got a ride back in a car. All the way. We hardly stopped. Made marvelous time.
Hillary! Oh, you must be tired. Sit down. I'll get you a sandwich.
Oh, not yet. What I absolutely would like is a bath. I feel filthy. Then I'll come and tell you and Vern all about the trip.
Go ahead. There's plenty of hot water.
Thanks. Did you get my letter?
It just came. We were just reading it when you came in.
Oh, then it wasn't a shock to you. Me turning up.
No, no.
Oh, no. A pleasant surprise.
See you.
People have huge St. Bernard dogs that wreck the house and eat steaks all the time. And still they keep them.
Not in suburban houses, they don't.
Some do.
Do you realize that in a month's time, we could be ready for a lawyer and divorce papers and a long fight over custody of the kids?
I'll take Hillary. You take the kids.
I'll get my big stick.
It was only a joke.
Oh, I really don't know what to do.
She's only a kid herself.
So?
So we've been paying too much attention to her. Look, she got you into a state where you were ready to quit your job. She's had me doubting my own teaching methods. I even made a fool of myself at the conference, and my colleagues are still looking at me as though I'm mad. Mm. And old Doug's been polishing his prospecting gear and getting his snowshoes in shape. It'll kill him to go back into the bush. And Joan's been paying $40 an hour to a psychiatrist to find out why she eats so much. Mm. You see what we've been doing? We've been paying too much attention to Hillary. It's like asking Debbie for daily orders. We'd spend all our time going to the zoo and eating ice cream and hot dogs.
She must have been a little bit right to get everybody so worked up.
Oh, I'm not saying she was totally wrong. I'm saying we listened to her too much. You know why? It's that bloody English accent of hers.
Us colonials accepting the word.
We were letting her take over.
Do you think we can cope if we keep reminding ourselves that this is our home?
And remember that she's only 18.
Remember, she's only 18. Remember, she's only 18.
Oh, you.
You think you can survive Hillary now?
A dozen Hillaries.
Sorry about this letter being damp, Jeremy, love. I've just had a super steamy bath and lobster pink. I'm back with Vern and Julie. They were pleased to see me. And at least they seem to be behaving nicely to each other. Haven't heard either of them shouting yet.
Hillary, lunch is ready.
Oh, you spoke too soon. Coming, Julie.
The English Au Pair by Rachel Wyatt. In the cast, you heard Eve Crawford as Julie and Nikki Guadagni as the Au Pair girl, with Roger Dunn as Vern, Mary Peary as Joan, Rex Hagen as Doug, and Bathsheba Garnett as Mrs. Kelchuk. The production assistant was Nina Callahan. Technical operations by David Hoyle. Sound effects, Stephanie McKenna. Production and direction by Fred Diehl from our Toronto studios. Next week on Sunday Matinee, a new play by David Helwig, in which he combines the subject of psychic phenomena with the subject of murder. Heaven and Earth, next week on Sunday Matinee. Until then, for executive producer Paul Mills, this is Fred Napoli. Have a pleasant week.
CBC Radio. Why are people still smoking? Despite all the publicity, what keeps the smokers puffing away? Today's subject on Cross Country Checkup. Let's hear from you today at 5:10 Eastern Time. And tonight, Ken Haslam hosts Symphony Hall. This week, it's Netherlands orchestras with works by Beethoven and Shostakovich. Symphony Hall tonight at 7:05, 8:05 Atlantic, at 8:35 in Newfoundland.
This is CBC Radio.